Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Loopcast, the podcast supplement to In the Loop, the radio show. I'm Jeff Horwich. Sandon Totten, our assistant producer, is here with me, as always.
Hey.
And we are, of course, fresh off our November program, Diplomacy Begins at Home. And this is our chance to bring you a little bit of extra material, sort of stretch that theme out a bit. And one of the things we did with this past show was to try and check in with a few folks who we were calling around the office, what, the diplomats of everyday life.
Right, right.
What they do is not exactly everyday life, I suppose. They're in kind of extraordinary professions that you don't normally think of as being diplomats, but in a way they kind of are.
So we spoke to a rabbi and a
special education teacher.
Right.
And we heard from a couples therapist over the course of the program. One more of these little nuggets that we did not have the perfect spot really to slot into the show, and so we didn't, was with a hostage negotiator. And we went to the city of Minneapolis looking for this. Kind of the diplomat as you'd imagine him on a TV crime drama.
Right, CSI or something, or the heavy, heavy-hitting diplomacy.
Or The Negotiator, or Hostage Guy. I mean, they actually have shows about them now. Of course, when you sit down and talk with someone, the insights are a little more nuanced than you'll get from primetime television. But here, take about a minute and hear what she has to say.
I'm Lieutenant Connie Leaf, the supervisor of the crisis negotiation team. Somebody is, you know, barricaded in a building or a certain area and threatening force against themselves or others. And so we go out with the SWAT team, attempt to make contact with those people and reach some kind of a peaceful conclusion with them. Well, you certainly want to use as much diplomacy as possible when someone has a gun. So part of what we like to do is just really extend that invitation to people, let them know we care about them, we want to hear their side of it, and talk to them honestly about what their options are. And I can't recall a situation that we've been in where we can't sincerely tell somebody, you have a much better option now to do something different than the course you're on. And if they decide to make a bad choice, of course you feel badly that it occurred that way and it ended that way, but sadly that was their decision.
That was Lieutenant Connie Leaf from the Minneapolis Police Department. She's a crisis/hostage negotiator. Now, before we wrap up this edition of the Loopcast, we want to pay homage to the Gather.com Diplomacy Call for Essays. As we started working on this show, we thought we would use our little outpost on Gather.com to put a call out for the Gather community to give us their thoughts about diplomacy. And we asked them to reflect on a couple of questions in particular. Is the perceived lack of diplomatic success in high-profile situations trickling down and affecting how we interact with each other in everyday life? That was one. The other, pick a situation of international deadlock where diplomacy appears thus far to have failed. If you were bestowed with the power and the mandate to bring the two sides together, what techniques from your own experience might you bring to bear? Sandon, people rose to that challenge to varying degrees.
Well, you know, people kind of went their own way with it. I think, and diplomatically, we'll sort of just kind of meet them where they decided to take a stand on the issue.
We had a number of very thoughtful responses. Thank you to everybody who took the time to submit your essays. And we're going to share just a few of those with you now, a couple of excerpts. First from a guy named Kevin Weeks, whose essay was titled Knowing What Not to Say. Kevin starts us out with the definition of diplomacy from Merriam-Webster. Quote, skill in handling affairs without arousing hostility. The synonym offered is tact. So I'm going to take just a minute here and read from Kevin's essay. When your grandmother asks if you like her burned cookies, you could say, they're horrible, you stupid old broad. Or you could say, thanks for asking, Grandma, they're quite extraordinary. The first response may be accurate, but the second is accurate as well as diplomatic and tactful. The second is probably also the wiser choice, unless you're out to burn bridges and are positive she doesn't have $100,000 socked away somewhere with your name on it, in pencil. We value honesty in this country. If there's anything both the Reds and Blues agree on, it's the importance of honesty in our relations with each other. And our cross-ideological scorn for politicians who lie is another commonality. But too often we view diplomacy as lying or a sign of weakness. After all, if you're strong, you can just do what you want. But beating someone up, Kevin Weeks says, is not a valid substitute for diplomacy. Sandon, who else do we have here?
Well, we got an essay from Hannah Drama. It's called The Wrongful Death of Difference. And she's talking here about some of the experiences she's had with her husband, who is East Indian, and kind of what they've been experiencing post 9/11. She writes, brown is brown is brown now. And in a great show of irony, the white world is finally beginning to be colorblind. But to black versus olive and all the hues in between. The pride I used to take in the contrast of skin tone between my husband and I twisted into an anxious need to mark him as not Arab. I felt the need not only to shield him from the ignorance of my fellow citizens, But I also had an irrational desire to apologize to the broad category of brown people created in a post-9/11 world.
And it's worth pointing out that in the court of public opinion, at least on Gather, Hannah's essay was maybe the winner. It was very well received, right?
Yeah, people really liked it.
Lots of response to that one. Our next one, titled Cal and Tony. This is from Alan Staples. And Alan begins by saying, so there's this Jewish dentist, and he has this Palestinian assistant. Now, I know this sounds like the start of a bad joke, but it's not. And let me sum up briefly the story of Cal and Tony. Cal is a Jewish dentist. Tony is his Palestinian assistant. And it goes back to a time in 1987 when Yasser Arafat declared that Palestinians working for Jewish businesses needed to quit their jobs. Cal and Tony then become estranged. But Alan Staples, who wrote this essay, believes that that kind of personal relationship that had existed there is the real salvation of diplomacy in the Middle East and everywhere else. He writes that diplomacy is defined as the negotiations conducted by the governmental representatives of nations. After spending some time in the Mideast, I gotta say that definition sounds less than promising, like a fairy tale or a fictional wish, a virtual impossibility. Instead, Alan writes, I'd like to think of diplomacy as pre-1987 Cal and Tony. After work, sitting in Cal's office, joking about the ancient strife between their people. You know, Tony, Cal would say, if we were in charge of sorting this mess out, we could have this thing solved over a couple of beers. So, Alan Staples kind of taking on our second challenge to think about major world diplomatic crises in personal terms.
Right.
All right, we have one more. Sandin, take it from here.
Well, this one's called The New School of Diplomacy by George Cornelissen. And he took our question about whether or not perceived lack of diplomacy at higher levels has been trickling down and affecting us in our everyday lives. And, well, here's what he says about it. I've thought about this for a few days, and I feel it would probably be more relevant to ask the question, is our lack of compromise in everyday life when dealing with each other trickling up and affecting the way diplomats that represent our government function? In my 56 years on this planet, I don't think I've ever seen a time when politicians mimicked the behavior of the public more than is currently the case. The wall between the public and private persona of most politicians has clearly been knocked down, and we, the public, see them now as more human than at any other point in my lifetime. Modern high-profile politicians speak and act more like one of the gang than they do the statue-like orators of my youth. Having seen both types, close up and personal, I'd have to say that in the long run, the persona of today's politician offers more hope. That being said, one has to wonder whose lead the modern-day politicians are following when it comes to shaping their public personality and behavior. I say, I have seen their role model, and it is us.
Part of The New School of Diplomacy, an essay by George Cornelissen. You can finish reading George's essay, and you can read a number of others that were submitted at our website on Gather, intheloop.gather.com. Well, we're going to wrap up this edition of The Loopcast. Many more of these to come on a weekly basis, I hope, from here on out. You can find us online at minnesotapublicradio.org/intheloop. Point your web browser there and tune in for us, of course, once a month. You can check our website to see the next taping and broadcast dates.
Right, and come and share ideas, too, for things we should cover in future shows, or just read our blog and tell us what you think.
That's Sandin Totten. This music you're hearing, by the way, is from The Smarts, one of our house bands for the program. More about them at thesmartsband.com. Thanks for listening to The Loopcast. I'm Jeff Horwich.